You're listening to Morning Edition on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. I'm joined this morning by Rhode Island Republican candidate for Governor Ken Block and Rhode Island's political analyst Scott McKay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Ken Block, you are running for governor as a Republican. You formerly founded the Moderate Party in Rhode Island. How would you address voters who say, we thought you were a moderate, now you're a Republican? What happened?
I started the party because I wanted to make political change in Rhode Island. I saw a crisis here that needed to be addressed that I didn't see being addressed. We went a long way down the road creating the party, put a lot of hard work into it. And what I learned at the end of the whole exercise was that a new political party is not a great way to make political change. And now I am making political change in the best way that I know how. Running for governor as a Republican.
Isn't it true, though, that on the social issues such as choice, reproductive freedom, and gay marriage, you don't agree with the National Republican Party?
My stance on all of the social issues, we don't have to get into itemizing all of them, is that there's settled law in place on all of them. And the problem that we suffer from here is an economic crisis. So what I want to see happen here is I want to see us focus all the emotional energy that goes in to the push and pull of the social issues. I'd like to see everyone focus that energy on solving the economic crisis.
Let's turn now, Ken Block, to your plan to fix the Rhode Island economy. You call it the Block Plan, and part of it includes some tax cuts. I'm wondering, why do you think Rhode Island needs to have the lowest corporate tax rates in New England?
We are in competition with our neighboring states. We're in competition with Massachusetts and Connecticut in particular, but New Hampshire is also formidable. And what we are trying to do is we are trying to attract jobs and businesses to be here as opposed to being across the border, because our tax base is changing and shrinking effectively. And what we need are more jobs. We need more people working at the best jobs that we can attract so that we have the money to pay for all the things that we would like to pay for, social service and everything else. To get those jobs, we aren't going to get them when Rhode Island is perceived correctly as being a very high cost place to do business relative to Connecticut and Massachusetts. We need to change that dynamic to fix the economy, and until we do that, we're going to suffer economically.
Well, now, wait a minute. Massachusetts has basically universal health care.
That's true.
And Rhode Island does not, and that's a higher cost on small business.
You're talking about what small businesses do in terms of paying for insurance?
Yes, and obviously there's a taxpayer component there.
There obviously is. Look, as a small business owner, as somebody who purchases health insurance for families, I can assure you that the 200% increase I've had to absorb over the last 10 years in terms of paying for health insurance is a gigantic cost driver and something that is frankly beyond unaffordable and unsustainable.
Have you gone through HealthSource Rhode Island?
I have taken a look at all of them, and none of them address the cost containment that business so desperately needs. Where our healthcare system has fallen apart, where Obamacare utterly fails, is we've done nothing to contain the ever-escalating cost of health insurance. And until we do that, it imperils all business owners. And frankly, let me tell you what's happened to my business with this year with the advent of Obamacare. I have had to purchase a much more expensive, much less coverage for my business. And what Obamacare does is it spreads the risk much more onto the shoulders of the individuals who work.
Yeah, but doesn't this have to start somewhere? Because there was so much cost shifting in the system from people like you who are actually paying for your employees' insurance, and people who come into the emergency room who don't have a job or are poor, and you're shifting the cost for free care to the hospitals to you.
Right. Well, the free care at the hospitals is only somewhat free care at the hospitals. They still ultimately get reimbursed by the state, which is ultimately the taxpayers.
Really.
Some of them, right? I mean, there is some reimbursement that comes for
But a lot of it's cost shifting. That's how they set their costs, because they move it onto other people who have insurance.
What would you do as governor to improve Rhode Island's public schools? That's another reason many people say businesses are not moving to the state.
That's true. I know business owners who have a hard time finding the people with the skill sets that they need. We are high stakes testing in high school, and where we identify kids who struggle in high school, the only thing we're learning is that we failed them somewhere along the way. The high stakes testing in high school doesn't address and fix the problem of a school system and a process that fails too many kids. Where that failure starts is in kindergarten. And when a child comes in with a tiny or non-existent vocabulary, when that child has not been read to, we know that unless specific actions are taken to help that child get those missing skills and knowledge, that they're going to move through school, and by the time they hit fourth grade, if they're not independently reading, the educational train leaves the station and they get really left far behind. That's how more than 70% of our high school seniors who go to CCRI end up needing remediation. The way we fix it is in kindergarten, we must test those kids, we must identify their deficits, and we should spend whatever money is necessary to address those deficits, because when we graduate children into welfare, the long-term costs of that far outweigh anything we're going to spend in those first K through 3 years to fix the problem.
We just had a new study shows that Rhode Island is one of the top states in the country in the growing inequality that we see. Should we raise the minimum wage to address that?
I don't believe that we should raise the minimum wage outside of what we're doing in our region right here, right now. We need to be competitive, and we cannot be the most expensive because we're in competition, and we cannot afford to be any more uncompetitive than we are right now. If we're remaining competitive, especially with Massachusetts and Connecticut, it's something that we can think about. But don't make no mistake, raising the minimum wage does nothing to fix the basic economic problem that we have, where we don't have nearly enough jobs and our tax base is shrinking. So for all of the focus on the minimum wage, what it's not doing in any way, shape, or form is addressing the most pressing issue that we have, which is that our economic base is shrinking and we're losing our competitive posture every day.
Looking at the governor's race, our political reporter Ian Donis tells me that Larry Sabato and other analysts rate Rhode Island as leans Democrat for the governor's race. What do you think it will take to win the race if you're able to secure your party's nomination?
In 20 years, we haven't elected a Democratic governor. I believe there's good reason why that doesn't happen. I believe the voters want and hope to see a check and a balance between the governor and the General Assembly. There's a gigantic distrust of the General Assembly. And I think a lot of people have a fear that a Democratic governor will simply end up being a rubber stamp, will be controlled by the machine, because the Democratic machine really does exist and it really does exert a lot of influence on the politicians who operate there. We're seeing Gina Raimondo being swung way to the left as she's running this race, and she needs to do that because she's having a real hard, she'll have a hard time winning this race without making that move, and that's Democratic politics. That's not what a lot of voters want to see. What they really want to see is unconflicted politicians who are making decisions in the best interest of everybody.
A lot of people aren't sure the state ought to be in the business of promoting gambling, yet we certainly are in our third largest revenue source. What do we do now that Massachusetts is starting to approve these big destination-style casinos? How do we protect this revenue stream that we have?
I don't know that we can. The basic fact of the matter is here is that competition is coming. I think that when it comes, we are going to see a reduction in our revenues. And this is all the more reason. This is why it's even more pressing to fire up our economy and bring different jobs and different sectors here as fast as we can, because there are things coming at us that we cannot control.
Well, what jobs? For instance, you know, people love to talk about manufacturing. In the warm bath of nostalgia, Rhode Island was this big manufacturing state. But the way manufacturing is done nowadays, even if we get a few jobs back, we're never getting all those manufacturing jobs back, are we, to be realistic?
No, we aren't. But listen, we live next to one of the greatest concentrations of tech companies in the world, in the 128 Cambridge, Massachusetts, 495 area. We're part of that. But they're not choosing to come here right now. We can fix that. We already have a burgeoning meds and eds. We need to keep that going. But beyond individual sectors, when we become a more appealing place from a generic climate perspective, we're going to get businesses of all kinds willing to look at us and come here. Let's face it.
That's the economic climate, not the weather.
Economic climate. Look, people love Rhode Island. We're all here because we love this state. And it is a terrific place to be. We have all the geographic advantages in the world. We have first-class infrastructure all the way up and down the line. We have Narragansett Bay. All these things work to our advantage. It's really the economic environment which stands in our way, and we can fix that.
We're out of time, so we'll have to leave it there. Ken Block, Republican candidate for governor, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Rhode Island Public Radio's political analyst, Scott McKay, thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth.